Right. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And we started a very brief series last week titled Making Big Changes by Doing Small Things. And I pointed out last week that sometimes we think if we're going to make big changes, we have to do big things, you know, read 40 chapters a day of the Bible and pray for, you know, 8 hours a day. Whereas really it's just the small things done consistently over time, that's what brings about the greatest changes in our lives. So it's a 15-minute Bible study every single day, followed by maybe 20 minutes of prayer, followed by fellowship, and certainly including worship. And doing those things consistently over time creates big changes in our lives. There aren't very many big things we can do that have just radically bring about a big change in our lives. That's just not the way that it works. And so we all want to make big changes in our lives, right? That's what we want. That's what we desire. We want to be transformed. We want God to change us into the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And last week we saw that there's great power in a focused life. And we talked about, you know, sometimes in our Bible study, it's good just to maybe focus on a particular theme. Maybe righteousness, maybe service, maybe being godly, whatever. But just focusing on that one thing for a while is a good thing for us to do. Because there's just tremendous power in a focused life. There's no doubt about it. We saw that with Paul. Right? Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting the past, I reach forward for those things which are ahead. In other words, he let go of all those things he used to trust in, all those things that he thought would cause him to be righteous before God, and he realized that they wouldn't, that the only way he could be righteous before God was to accept Jesus Christ. And he came to that conclusion, and when he did, he says, one thing I do, I forget the past. I don't care about the past. I'm reaching forward for those things which are before me. But also David said, you know, one thing have I desired of the Lord, right? And we saw that in Psalm 27. And what is it, the one thing, David? He desired a relationship with God. He desired that above all things. See, he lived a very focused life. Paul lived a very focused life. And I believe that's why David was as great as he was. And that's why Paul was the great apostle Paul. He lived a focused life. You read the Gospels. It's all about Jesus Christ. Over and over and over. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Count how many times Paul uses Jesus Christ in his letters. You'll be astounded. He lived a very focused life. Now, here's the thing. You see, thoughts are important when it comes to the direction of your life. The way you think determines how you live. And so your thoughts are very, very powerful. David said, Solomon, for example, said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As you think, so you are. That's what the Bible says. So think about that. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You see, if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think life is will probably be, you know, too difficult for you, it will be. If you think you have nothing to offer, you will not make a difference in the body of Christ because you don't think you make a difference. On the other hand, if you think you can, you probably will. You see, if you believe that God is for you, you will do well in life. How can you not? God is for me. And if I have that one thought, and I know that God is for me, and I'm focused on that as I go through life, wow, there's a lot of power in that. Because if God is for me, no one can be against me. Even if they are, it doesn't matter. They won't be successful. Why? God's for me. So if God is for you, you don't have to worry about those who are against you. You see, our life often moves in the direction of our greatest thoughts. So the greatest thoughts that you think really sets the direction in the course of your life, because that's where your mind is. That's what you're thinking about. And so, let's do for just a moment a thought audit. So, what kind of thoughts do you have? What do you focus on? So, let's take this for example. It's a continuum. Are you a person who's worried or a person who is peaceful? Where are you on that? Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. You're not exactly peaceful, but you're not exactly worried. You know, you're kind of in between maybe those two things. But we're not supposed to be on that end of the continuum. We're supposed to be on this side. That's the side we're supposed to be on. Worry is a sin. Jesus tells them, man, don't worry. If God is your Father, why would you worry? Why would you worry? He's your Father. He loves you. He's going to take care of you and provide for you. You don't have to worry about anything. And Paul tells us over, and we'll see in a little while in Philippians, that we should take our worry list and turn it into a prayer list. Turn those things over to God. And when we do, we can experience peace in our lives. But so many people experience worry. They just worry about everything. But worry is a sin. Because you're not trusting God. That's why you're worrying. If you trust Him, you don't worry. You don't have to worry. You put your trust in God. Or, for example, are you a negative person versus a positive person? There are a lot of people over here, they're negative. Negative people don't do well. They're negative. Negative about everything. Everything. They're just negative. About. And then you got people who are very positive. And those are the people you want to be around, right? Positive people. Who wants to be around people that's negative all the time? Just negative, 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 negative. And yet you encounter those people. We're not supposed to be negative. We're supposed to be positive. So where are you on this continuum? Are you negative? Are you positive? Positive people get stuff done. Positive people achieve. Negative people, oh, it can't be done. Oh, we can't do that. It's never been done before, so we can't do it now. Those are negative people. Those people hinder the body of Christ. They get in the way because we can't do it. Because they say we can't do it. But then you got those people who are positive and say, we can do anything God wants us to do. Anything God calls us to do, we can do. And those are the people you want to listen to. Positive people. We need that. So people are thinking thoughts. Negative is not a good place to be. Or worldly versus eternal. Are all your thoughts on this world, this side of things? Do you think about eternal things? We need to think about eternal things. We need to have eternal things on our mind. Paul says over in Colossians chapter 3, I'll just read this real quick. Colossians 3, Paul says, if you then were raised up with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, while we do have to think about this world to a certain extent, we live here. We live in this world. So we obviously have to think about this world to a certain extent, but not exclusively. We need to be thinking about eternal things. One day we're going to leave here. And when you do, what then? I expect to be with God, don't you? Is that your desire? Is that what you want? Is that what you think about and dwell on? And if you do, that will inspire you and it will give you hope and it will help you keep on keeping on. So, We could go on with a bunch of things, but do a thought audit in your life and just ask yourself, what is it that I think about? That's a good question. What is it you think about? Number two, today. Oh no, I got one more thing I want to point out on this. You see, our thoughts determine who we become, right? And that's why I said thoughts are powerful, because they do determine who you become. Your life goes in the directions of your thoughts, right? You don't do anything till you think it. Everything you do, you think it. You don't do anything you don't think. You think things through. And this is what Paul says over in Romans chapter 12. I just wanted to read this real quick. Romans chapter 12, Paul says in verse 2. Romans 12, 2. Here it is. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is verse 1, and I'll read 1 and 2, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Here it is. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus. We're supposed to be transformed. We're not to be conformed to this world. If all I'm doing is thinking about worldly things, then that's what I'm going to be conformed to, the world. Because that's where all my thoughts are, that occupies my mind, and so that's where I'm going to be. But Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. How are we transformed? Through the renewing of your mind. Why your mind? Because you think different. You think different. That's why repentance is so important in salvation, because your life won't change till your thoughts change. Till you decide, I'm going to live differently, you're not going to live differently. You have to make that decision that I'm going to do life different. And until you do that, you won't do life different. You'll do it the way you've always done it. Number two. We must learn to capture destructive thoughts. We need to take captive destructive thoughts. What do you mean? Well, the text that was read a moment ago, but let's read it again. This is Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Our warfare is spiritual. It's not fleshly. We're not in battle against fleshly people. We're against principalities, against powers of darkness, against the devil, and all of those who support his work of evil. All those fallen angels and demons who support him. That's where our battle lies. It's not with physical people. And it's important to keep that in mind. Sometimes we lose track of that and we think, people who are being used by the devil, all right, to propagate his will in the world, they're not the enemy. They're being used by the enemy. But they themselves are not the enemy. How do you know? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, Paul says, not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not physical. He is spiritual, Paul says. But he says, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, many people today are prisoners of lies. They're prisoners of lies. Satan has lied to them, and they have believed that lie, and now they're a prisoner of that lie. You see that today with transgenderism. You know, all this transgender stuff. You do not go from male to female, nor do you go from female to male. It doesn't happen. It only happens in your head. It doesn't happen, really. I guarantee you, any person who a man who wants to go to female, I guarantee you he'll have XX chromosome. He will not have XY. He'll have XX. Why? He's a male. He's a man pretending to be female. See, he bought into the lie thinking you can do this. That gender is a spectrum. You know, it's here and it goes way over here. And, you know, they say there's like, that Tallarico guy down in Texas. He said there are like, I don't remember what it was, like 80 different genders. That's just stupid. That's just stupid. And if you believe that, you're locked in a lie. It's false. It's false. Many people buy into that. There's all kinds of lies and lifestyles that people get into, and they get locked into them because they believe a lie. And what Paul says we need to do is we need to take those thoughts that are against Christ, that are against God, take everyone captive and cause it to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. So many people are victims of the devil and locked into these lifestyles that they thought is who they are. The Bible says God made them male and He made them female, and that's all that there is. Male and female. And there's nothing else. Nothing in between. Just male and female. But Jesus tells us that the truth will set you free. This book right here is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. You see, the only way you can combat a lie is with truth. You can't beat a lie any other way. If you have truth, you destroy lies. Lies cannot stand in the face of truth. And that's why we need the truth. It's why we need God's Word. And we need to take every thought captive. Don't buy into the lies of culture. Culture says this. God says this. Believe what God says over culture. Do not get locked into various lifestyles believing this lie, because that's all that it is. Someone think, oh, well, you know, hey, if I leave my wife for this other woman, this is a good thing. This is what God wants for me. No, it's not. No, it ain't. It's not. But there are people who believe that kind of stuff. Satan puts thoughts in our heads. What are you going to do when those thoughts come? The Bible says, take them captive. Don't let them take you captive. Because your thought life will be your life. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That's what Solomon wrote. Number three, fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Fix your thoughts on spiritual things. You know, Paul, he was a prisoner in Rome. And while he was a prisoner, he wrote these words. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. and the God of peace will be with you. Think on those things. So let me ask you, are these the things you think on? Do you think about the things that are true, noble, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, praiseworthy? Is that where your mind is? Is that what you focus on? I hope it is, because if it is, then the peace of God can fill your heart, your mind, and your soul. And so our thoughts become the guiding force in our life. That's why we have to get a hold of our thoughts. That's why we have to do what Paul says and don't let Satan bind you up in lies. Our thought life matters. It matters because it's what guides you. It's your thoughts that take you through life. You think, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to go to college. That's your thought life. That's your thought life. So you're thinking about those things, and you choose to do them. And so, some of you may be just a thought or two away from having your life completely transformed in the way that you desire. You could be really close. Or maybe you're a little ways away. So here's the thing. When you wake up in the morning, don't go to Facebook. Go to God's Word. Start your day with God's thoughts. You see, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm allowing God's thoughts to enter my mind. And I'm going to dwell on His thoughts. And I'm going to let His thoughts lead me and guide me. And just going back to a thought that I brought out at the beginning. If God is for us, Paul says, who can be against us? And the answer to that question is nobody. Because if God's for you, that undoes everybody else who's against you. It doesn't matter who's against you. God's for me. And because He's for me, that's what matters. And what a great thought to start your day. Isn't that a great thought? God is for me. What a great thought to start your day. That's why we need to go to the Bible. We need to let God put His thoughts in our minds so those thoughts can guide us and those thoughts can transform us and make us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And so, you will go in the direction of your thoughts. So you need to have some good, godly thoughts to dwell on. Because you're going to go in the direction of those thoughts. And if your thoughts are otherwise, you're going to go in that direction too. You will go in the direction of your thoughts. So go to this book. And let God put His thoughts in your heart, in your mind, and allow them to be the guiding force of your life. That's what God wants. If you want great change to happen in your life, it's simple. It's simple. Just let God's thoughts occupy your mind on a daily basis. Go to the Word and let the Word dictate your life. Otherwise, you're going to go in another direction because there is a devil. We do have an enemy who's against us and who's out to destroy us. And he wants us to get bound up in all these different lifestyles because we think they're best for us and they're right and they're good and they're not. And we get just bound up in lies and falsehood. And God doesn't want that for you. He wants way better than that for you. And so this morning, if you're struggling in your thought life, boy, this is a good time for you to come and ask for prayers. We would love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is also a good opportunity for you to come and say, you know what? I've been hearing about Jesus. You've been talking about Jesus. I want to know about this Jesus. If you will come, we will tell you about Jesus. And so we encourage you this morning, if you have any need, make that known as we stand and sing.